And there was a certain disciple at Damascus, named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. And the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. And today we're calling all Canadians back to the Bible. I'm throwing out my Bible challenge that you read the Bible for 1 month. I want you to read all of John's Gospel, one chapter per day, and then the book of Romans, and to read it twice through. You can do that in 1 month just by dedicating perhaps 30 minutes per day. I don't like people who have objections to the Bible, but they've never read it. They have questions and they have complaints that the Bible is a book of nonsense when they haven't even opened the covers to have a look within. So I challenge you to become a Bible reader, and I guarantee that it will change your life. That's the book of John and the book of Romans in 1 month. I'm also challenging you to prayer. Challenge you to become a man or woman of prayer. That is to go into training to pray biblically and earnestly as a prayer warrior. Now, prayer warrior might be a strange title for a Christian. But we know that God raises up men and women who become prayer warriors in his church. They become the lifeline of the church and the source of power and blessing to the minister and to the many needs of God's people through their readiness to pray and to keep on praying. Don't just be the one who phones in your prayer needs. Rather, be the one upon whom God, our people, call upon to pray for them. Every Christian should have a prayer ministry, and every Christian should set themselves to have that testimony, both at home and in the church. When a prayer meeting is called in the church, you should be there without any excuses. When prayer is called in the home, you should be there to lead it or to give your amen. That will mean that you have an attitude of prayer in your life, or you have the spirit of prayer upon your life. It will not be a strange thing to you. Indeed, every Christian needs that spirit of prayer, because the soul that is born of God will pray. That's the consolation that God gave to Ananias when he was to seek out Paul, that former Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor of Christians. The evidence that God gave to Ananias that Saul of Tarsus was now a truly converted man and had become a Christian was this: behold, he prayeth. Surprise! Surprise! This man is now on his knees, seeking God with a new heart and a new devotion to the Lord. May this be your testimony too. Let's read what God said about Paul. And the Lord said unto him, Ananias, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Stay tuned, as today we turn to that text, to let the Bible speak.
Of course, we need to confess, seek the cleansing of the Lord, depart from all known sin, that we might be men and women of prayer. And one time there was a vessel bound for Lisbon, and it had a crew of 8 men, 2 of whom were professors of Christianity. And one, over the period of the voyage, sought opportunity to be a witness and to tell the crew and others on board of the Savior. And he witnessed day and daily. And then when he was winning some people over to the gospel, the other professing Christian came alongside and said he wanted to help too. But the people on board were having none of it, because they witnessed his careless life all along, and they would not hear of that carnal, fleshly man taking part in presenting the gospel. And so, likewise with our prayer lives. It's not just words, we pray with our whole life. And it's our witness, it's our testimony, it's our character, it's our whole demeanor that we come to God. And so we need to pray for holiness of life. And we're told in James 5 that it is the prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. And so if you would be a man or woman of prayer, you need to pray firstly that you be righteous. Now, of course, we need to plead the righteousness of Christ. None of us are perfect. None of us are sinless. But as gospel believers, we have the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus. And it's good to plead that in prayer as we come to seek the Lord. And we read in 1 John 2, verse 1, that Jesus Christ the righteous is our advocate. What a wonderful, perfect, sinless mediator we have at God's right hand. And we should be copies of the righteous one as we come to the Lord in prayer. Now, we've looked at some of the hindrances. I want now to look at some of the helps to prayer. What are the things that help us as we set ourselves to be men and women of prayer? Well, it helps to study the prayer life of the Lord Jesus. We have noted already in Matthew 14 of that habit of prayer in the Lord, and how he set aside times to pray, God alone, and pray to his heavenly Father. And if you read through the Gospels, noting the prayers of the Lord Jesus, that will be a tremendous guide unto you. And the intercessory work of the Lord, how over and over he is presented as one who intercedes. Now, we are intercessors too, in the sense that we pray for others who cannot pray for themselves or who will not pray for themselves. We pray for our children. We pray for the ungodly. We pray for the unconverted. We pray for this community and for our nation. And we, in that sense, are intercessors. But we need to come in Jesus' name, but also using the same terms by which the Lord Jesus cried to his Father. And you'll read of that. Well, let's look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now, here is praying with compassion. And here is a model in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. We need to pray because we care. We need to pray because we have a burden, because we recognize the urgency and the pressing need. And thankfully, the Lord Jesus can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And of course, he prayed, one who was sinless, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And let us therefore come boldly. We have a right to come. We have the freedom to come, because we know that our Lord Jesus is our intercessor at God's right hand. Now, therefore, we are to find help also in the prayers of the Bible. And that's a good thing to study. It's a good thing to look for. And you will find, as we read tonight, the prayer of King Jehoshaphat in an emergency situation. And he pleaded that God promised that when Israel cried to the Lord in their trouble, whether it be an army, a famine, or a pestilence, that God would hear in heaven. And there is a wonderful example for us on how to pray. And so tonight, as we pray for our nation, as we pray against this pestilence that is upon our land and upon so many other countries, we can bring these things to the Lord in prayer following that example. Another thing that helps us to pray is to pray through in the book of Psalms. Many of the Psalms are prayers, or there are prayers within them. And by reading the Psalms and by praying through the Psalms, we learn much how to pray. Now you might ask, well, how do you pray through the Psalms? Well, just picture yourself taking your Bible, turning to one of those Psalms, reading it through, and then spreading that Bible out on your chair, getting down on your knees, and just reading and praying. Reading and praying. And as you pray verse 1, you quote verse 1, you lift your heart to God and say, Lord, do that for me. Lord, this is just like me. And you move to verse 2 and you work your way through the psalm, and you'll find that many of the psalms started with the problem and ends in the wonderful answer. And in that way, you learn to pray by pleading the Lord in the Psalms. Again, I want to say that it helps to pray alone. Some people come to our prayer meetings and they may feel rather intimidated, and they feel that they could not pray like others. Well, the place to start in prayer is to pray alone. I think when you look at Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, that when Ananias discovered him in the house of Judas, that he was alone, and he was praying naturally, quietly, personally. He was not leading worship. He was not having a grandstand in public, but he was in the closet, in the quiet place. And that's the place where we begin to pray. And you learn to pray by crying out to God alone. We also find it helps to pray in the home. And it's a wonderful blessing for boys and girls to grow up in a home where mom and dad lead in prayer and give that example of prayer. And children, if you're listening in tonight, I want you to recognize that you have a tremendous privilege as you grow up in a home where the Bible is read, where your mom or dad or both lead you in prayer and encourage you and include you in prayer. That's something that every Christian family should do. And instilling not just the value of prayer, but the words of prayer, the language of prayer, the means of crying to God. Because this is something that does not come naturally. It is something that we need to learn from the Bible and learn from other Christians. And I can remember as a new Christian, after I was converted, going along to prayer meetings in Omagh Free Presbyterian Church, and I heard God's people praying. Many of them were not educated. Many of them were not in various high professions. But boy, could they pray. And they would pour out their hearts in simple, warm-blooded language, crying to God in prayer. And in that atmosphere of church prayer meetings, I learned to pray. And I hope that you will be a frequenter at church prayer meetings. Now tonight we're going to be meeting together by Zoom, and I hope it works reasonably well and many can be involved in it. But normally, and in normal times, every week we have prayer meetings in this church, and I exhort you to become a prayer warrior, a part of the prayer ministry of the church, that you will learn to pray, that you will participate in prayer, and that you will be known as Paul the Apostle. Behold, he prayeth. That is tremendous fruit. I want to close tonight with the rewards of prayer. The man or woman of prayer will enjoy many personal rewards. And the first one really is personal communion with the Lord. To know the Lord and enjoy his fellowship in a real consistent way, well, money can't buy that. There is nothing else that can substitute that. It is gold, it is royal, it is heavenly. And to be walking with the Lord, in fellowship with the Lord, in daily, constant prayer, is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And it is like those two men in the road to Emmaus, to have the heartburn of communing with the Lord. When's the last time that you can say that you had that spiritual heartburn, that your soul was ravished with the love of the Savior? Well, that's what prayer warriors seek every day, every time they pray, to various degrees. There are times when we find it a struggle and prayer is somewhat dry, but we don't give up. We pray on and we pray through, and the next day we'll find the Lord lifts us higher, into higher ground, and we find wonderful joy in the presence of the Lord. And for this, we would invite anyone who is not a Christian, who is not a praying man or woman, to bow the knee, give your heart to the Lord, and you will find wonderful, sweet communion with the Lord Jesus. Another reward, of course, is that only real prayer warriors find answers to prayer. Very, very many professing Christians fall into the category of James 4:2. Ye have not, because ye ask not. And so if you're not a man or woman of prayer, if you don't really call on God, if you don't engage in prayer for souls and for the church and for your own life and for your testimony and calling upon God for wonderful answers, well, you're not going to get answers. And tonight, as we pray for our nation, we're not going to get answers if we don't cry and call out unto God. Also, we'll find that those who pray will be useful to God. God will not use a prayerless soul to do his work. Now, as we read down Acts chapter 9, we discovered that God had prepared for Saul of Tarsus a mighty work. He was, as Ananias was to announce to him, a chosen vessel. And if you look at Acts 9, 15, 16, the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And the starting point was prayer. If Saul of Tarsus had not come to be a man of prayer, he could never be God's vessel to take the gospel, to be an evangelist, a church planter. He could not be so used of God. And so up until now, all the praying of the Apostle Paul was hypocrisy. It was empty. It was mere show. But now he was linking up with God. He was learning to lay hold of God, to have power with God, that he might know also power with men. And I'm quite sure if I asked you personally, do you want to be used of God? You would say, yes, certainly. I want my life to be an addition to the kingdom of God. Well, there's only one way to attain that. There's only one way to see that happen. That is to be a man or a woman of prayer. It was Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, who said, the man who can pray is truly richer and more blessed than all others. And so we need to set ourselves to seek the Lord in prayer. Lord Shaftesbury of England was an outstanding man, and he traced his usefulness as a leader in England to his childhood nurse. He had a nurse, we would probably call her in these times a nanny, one who helped to raise him. And she was a Christian woman, not well known at all, carrying out a very low profile task as a caregiver, a nanny, but she taught Lord Shaftesbury how to pray. And he said later, this was given to me by the best friend I ever had in the world. Now, do you want to be useful to God? Do you want your life to count for God? Well, you need to resolve, and it is a matter of deciding. You've got to make a firm decision in this. Are you going to set yourself with all your heart to be a man or woman of prayer? Or are you going to just coast along? Let the wind drive you. Let events carry you hither and thither. Or are you going to set yourself as a man or woman of prayer, as we find here in the life of Saul of Tarsus, newly converted, and the great pronouncement is given, Behold, he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth. Let that be your testimony, and let that be your strength and enjoyment. May the Lord
for you.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I hope that you have been encouraged through the message this day. And if I can be a help to you in your prayer life, that you might have mercy from God, peace with God, and above all, that you have the assurance of sins forgiven, and that you are on praying terms with God, then feel free to give me a call or send me an email. The details are coming up in the closing announcements. Firstly, let me tell you of a certain wayward young man who ran away from home and was not heard of for years. In some way, hearing that his father had just died, he returned home and was kindly received by his mother. The day came for the reading of the will. The family were all gathered together, and the lawyer began to read the document. To the surprise of all present, the will told in detail of the wayward career of the runaway son. The boy, in anger, arose, stamped out of the room, left the house, and was not heard from for 3 years. When eventually he was found, he was informed that the will, after telling of his waywardness, had gone on to bequeath him $15,000. How much sorrow he would have saved himself and others if he had only heard the reading through. Thus many people only half read the Bible and turn from it dissatisfied. The Bible says, "The wages of sin is death." Yes, but it says more. It says, "But the gift of God is eternal life." And I fear that there are many people who, when they open the Bible, they read perhaps a few pages or an incident in the Bible, and they might say, that is ugly. And of course, what the Bible is doing, it is acting as a mirror to show the reader his own true state before God. Because I do assure you that the Bible is an honest book. And if you want to know who you are and what you are and what is your standing before God, the Bible will deal with you honestly. It will reveal that you are a son of Adam. It will reveal that there is within you a nature that is anti-God and that you are a rebel to God by nature. And all of that is very difficult reading. But of course, the Bible also goes into the marvelous, wonderful grace of a merciful God, that God delighteth in mercy, so much that he entered into a covenant with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent his Son into the world to be the Savior of sinners, that the Lord Jesus would live a perfect, sinless life, the life we ought to have lived, and that the Lord Jesus went to the cross to die in suffering, a substitutionary death in the place of sinners. And by the work of the Lord Jesus, by his perfect obedience, by his atoning blood, he offered up a sacrifice all sufficient to satisfy God. And now there is eternal life. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.